Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah and amen. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. And I'd like to say hello to all of our UCA members and our visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which, by the way, is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Let me give you that again. We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. In the afternoon, 1:30 p.m. so you can sleep in the morning, okay? Come and visit us if you're in this area, or if you know where Upland, California is, just come on and visit us. You will be blessed as we worship the Lord together and sing songs of praise and listen to his strong messages, and just come to receive your healing, your blessing, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, what I want you to do now is call, text, or inbox all of your friends and family members. Tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in, of course, is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Give them that number, okay? Or you can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram. Just click on the link where you will see the post of today's show in order to listen from your computer, and you'll be able to listen all week on Facebook. Where just click on the link or click on the picture wherever you see the post. Just click on it, and you can listen to it all this week, okay? So praise the Lord for that, all righty? Also, we want you to tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain on hsbn.tv. You will see my wife and I as we bring forth The Message of Life. And we have some good messages that will help you grow in your walk with the Lord, okay? And you can always... If you don't go to hsbn.tv, you can go to YouTube and just put in The Message of Life, T. Meyer and Tusila McCain, okay? Or just put T. Meyer McCain, and it'll pop up, and you can just go ahead and enjoy it. We're on several apps, including Rumble. So we're on many of the internet apps and stuff. So, okay? All right. In the meantime, don't go away. We'll be right back, and we'll get right into our message for today. In the meantime, remember, my Redeemer lives.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can know? Please.
tell you, I love that song, My Redeemer Live. Praise the Lord. You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message. And we're going to get right into our message for today. Today, I'm going to be teaching on God doing a new thing. The message is entitled, I'm Going to Do a New Thing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I ask that you bless every person that has tuned in to this radio program, whether they have dialed in or whether they are listening from their computers or from their telephones. However, Lord, we just pray and ask that you open up their hearts and their minds, that they will receive the message, your word for this week, for this day. And Lord, let it be your word that lives in them for always. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do a new thing. The Lord made a promise to us that he is going to do a new thing in this hour. But as we go through scripture, we find that God has done new things from the all the way to the New Testament. He is always doing something new. For example, when Enoch was taken, that was a new thing. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. So that means that since Adam, there was no person that have ever escaped death for seven generations until Enoch was born. He was the first man that never saw death. Think about it. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Wow. Wouldn't you like to have that? You are somebody who pleased God? You know, Jesus always said, I only do the things that please him. And so we should have that same attitude. Try your best to do the things that you know please God. Enoch was taken up. He was the seventh generation from Adam. That speaks a strong language in this hour, because we are entering into that seventh day, and we will be the seventh from Adam. What do I mean from that? I meant that from the time of Adam to where we are now is 6,000 years. All right, roughly about 6,000 years, but we're entering into that 7,000th year, that day of rest. So because of that, we are that special generation. We are the generation that don't necessarily have to see death. All right, I'll let you chew on that a little bit, because that's another message, okay? God took him. God took Enoch, and that was a new thing in that generation. Another new thing that God did was when Abraham's army defeated four kings. Abraham had a very small army, yet he defeated four nations, four kings that had powerful armies, warriors. That was unheard of. But that was a new thing. That had never happened before. Now, later, after that, you know, God wrought many victories with a small remnant of people, just like he's going to do today. Remember, Gideon only had 300 people, and those 300 people destroyed thousands of people. Okay, so after that, the Lord did do it. But when Abraham did it, it was a first. It was a new thing. Amen? Amen. God is the God of the harvest. He's the God of the harvest, and he works by planting seed. And the small remnant was a seed. Abraham's small remnant was a seed. And he's going to plant a seed, a small remnant of people today that he's planting in this hour. the incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ inside his people today is going to go into all the world, destroying the works of Satan. A mighty army that God is raising in this hour. A small remnant of people. It's going to start with a small remnant, and then, of course, it's going to multiply. Also, another new thing that God did for Abraham was to give him a child in his old age. This was the first time that had ever happened. Understand that. Both Abraham and his wife Sarah was old and up there in years. Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 90. Yet the Lord kept Sarah looking young and beautiful so that she was able to have a baby in her old age. Genesis 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. This was not only a miracle, but this was a new thing. Think about it. Sarah, 90 years old. By the time she had Isaac, she was 91, and Abraham was 100. But yet Sarah was so beautiful that meant that kings wanted to take her to be their wife. That's how beautiful she was. The Lord had blessed her. That was a new thing. It had never happened before. But of course, later, you know, with John the Baptist, his parents, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were old, and then they had John the Baptist. But Abraham was first. It was a new thing. Even that very same promise that God gave to Abraham was a new thing, that through Abraham, through his seed, through Isaac, the Messiah would come. That was a new thing. This was a promise to Abraham. God had never made a promise like that to any other man, not during that time. We now walk in the promises of Abraham, but during that time, nobody else did. God made a promise that in his seed, and was specific in Isaac. The Lord had Abraham and Sarah to call him Isaac because Isaac means laughter. And Sarah, being an old woman, was full of joy when she heard the news that she was going to have a baby. I mean, it was like all of the younger women will envy her because she's an older woman having a child. But she was an older, beautiful woman and was having a child. And she was happy and she laughed. And so the Lord, being gracious and kind and just beautiful, he named the child Laughter. I'm telling you, all of this was a new thing. Another new thing was the flood of Noah. Remember that? It said that it took Noah 100 years or so to build the ark. He had to build it according to the directions and instructions of the Lord. And then the Lord had all the animals to come to him. Did you know that it was said that when the animals that's on the earth came to Noah, that they bowed before him and then entered the ark? All of this was a new thing. Nothing like this had ever taken place before. And then when the actual flood came, waters came up from under the earth and waters came down from the sky and caused a great flood on the earth. All of this was a new thing. It never happened before. The splitting of the Red Sea was a new thing. Remember when Moses split the Red Sea? Well, it was really God that did it, but he worked through Moses. This was never done before in the eyes of man, ever. The other new thing was similar to the splitting of the Red Sea. It was when the next generation of the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. Did you know that the Jordan River split as well? But it caused a more narrow path than the splitting of the Red Sea. The splitting of the Red Sea was a wide path, but this was a narrow path. Well, why? Well, because the splitting of the Red Sea led the children of Israel into the wilderness. But the splitting of the Jordan River led them into the promised land. This was a new thing for that generation. Joshua chapter 3, verses 2 and 4. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levite, the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And you know that's what many people in the world is going to do when they see us, God's priests, in this hour. You see, he has made us kings and priests, but our priesthood is the Melchizedek priesthood. The Levites, they were merely a type and shadow of the real priesthood, which was the Melchizedek priesthood. When the world see you bearing Jesus Christ in you, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, when they see Christ in you, they're going to go after you. They're going to follow you. This scripture goes on to say, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. In other words, this has never happened before. It was a new thing. This was a new thing for them because the crossing of the Jordan, like I said, led them on into the promised land. Just like Jesus is leading us into the promised land, and the promised land in this hour is the kingdom of God. Here's another new thing. When David killed Goliath, now this is something to think about. That was a new thing. That was a new thing. David was just a young man. Some say that he was only about 17 years old or so. He wasn't even of the age that young men went out to war. He was far younger. Nevertheless, he killed a giant, and not just any giant, a great and skillful champion warrior. David, little David, killed a champion, a man who all of Israel feared. You know that whenever Goliath stepped out on the scene, Goliath was the giant, whenever he stepped out on the scene, the entire army of Israel would run, including Saul, their king. They were afraid. They were fearful of this man. He was a giant. So every time he come and showed up to the battle, they ran. Goliath was a big, heavy man of about 9 to 13 feet tall, and arrayed with heavy and powerful army. So he wasn't like a tall, skinny person. This man was big. He was thick. He was heavy. He was powerful. And then on top of all of that, he had heavy, powerful armor that he fought with and that he wore. Yet David, a kid who was not even a man of war at that time, ran to him. He didn't run away from him like the children of Israel did. David, one person, a little kid, ran to this giant with just a sling and a rock and killed him. This was not only a new thing, it was an unbelievable thing. The children of Israel couldn't believe that this little young kid killed this powerful giant. And that gave them the courage to go after the Philistines and defeat them in war. The Lord spoke through his prophet Isaiah, telling his people that he's going to do a new thing. Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 20. The Lord says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. God is going to do a new thing. He's going to bring forth waters or rivers in the desert. You see, the land right now is a desert land that we're living in. There's no Holy Spirit, just a portion of it on some of God's people. But overall, there's no Holy Spirit, but the Lord is going to move, and he's going to overflow. He's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. It will be rivers in the desert, and animals and people, everyone will be blessed by this move of God's Spirit that's coming upon his people. He's telling us already that he's going to do a new thing. The Lord is going to once again do a new thing in this hour right before our eyes, right in this hour that we're living in right now. He's going to make all things new. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. God is going to move the remainder, and check this out, he is going to move the remainder of the flood waters from the days of Noah that stayed on the earth to make seas and oceans even today, which are even here today. These oceans and seas that we see, these are the waters from the flood of Noah. And it's here, and it covers the majority of the earth. God will cause these waters to go back in the sky to build a canopy over the earth like in the beginning. This will allow the good and fertile land that's under the sea to appear. This is a new thing, and it's going to happen right before us, right in front of us. We will see these things take place. This is a new thing, and it's part of God making all things new. Just remember this, that before God does something new, he tells us about it first. Through prophecy, he tells us first. Like, for example, the Lord did something else new, spoken again through his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, when the Lord said, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, this was prophesied hundreds of years before it happened, but it would be a new thing when it happens. And then the angel Gabriel confirmed God's word again when he told that same virgin, hundreds of years later, the one prophesied of in the book of Isaiah, when he told him these words, because this is when it came to pass. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. A virgin, just like Isaiah prophesied, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. It was Mary who was prophesied about. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. Well, actually, to be truthful, if you want to break it down, Mary was frightened. She was scared when she saw this angel. You know, he just appeared. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Wouldn't you love to hear an angel come to you and tell you that you have found favor with God? And behold, this is the angel continually talking to her. He said, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," meaning Savior, salvation. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of God," or the Son of the Highest. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now, a lot of times when the scripture refers to somebody and they say their father, David, instead of saying their grandfather or great, 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 you know, 100 times great grandfather, they just say your father, David, because at that time they didn't say grandfather or great grandfather, okay? So he would have the throne of his father, David, according to the flesh. And the Lord had told David that he will always have a man to be on the throne. And that man who continues to be on the throne even now is Jesus Christ. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel. Now keep in mind, Mary was a virgin. So this angel's telling her all of this. She said, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. In other words, reminding him, I'm a virgin. And the angel answered. He explained to her exactly what would happen. That's the beautiful part of it. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Wow. This was God being born into the world. People, this was a new thing and the best thing to ever happen to mankind. The Lord is going to do a new thing in this hour. God will be with us and, check it out, in us. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have Christ in you, then you have God in you. The Lord wants to dwell in us more than we know. John 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Make our home with him. This will be a great day when God makes his abode in us and with us. Revelation 21, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in another place it's written that God will be with them and they shall be his sons. We will become sons of God. Now that's a new thing. I know you've been hearing it for years, but the revelation of what it means to be a son of God is what's the new thing. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and we claim that by faith. We claim it by faith. We are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We have to hold on. Hold on so that we can truly, fully become manifested sons of God. It doesn't appear just yet what we might be, because we are going to be changed into his glorified likeness and image. Then everybody will see that we're the sons of God. But for right now, we walk by faith. You see, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God is going to form us again, just like he formed Adam in the beginning. But we will be even better than Adam. Can you get a load of that? Better than Adam was before he even failed. We are going to be better than Adam. Adam is considered the former house. Jesus is the latter house, and we are made after the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. We will be changed into his glorified image. Therefore, we will be even better than Adam was. That's deep. Even better than the former church. The Christianity today that enters into their full new birth and that truly hold on to the Lord and literally become the sons of God in this hour will be far greater than the early church. The early church is called the former house. We will be called the latter house. And even the Lord himself said, the latter house shall be greater than the former. Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Once and for all, the world is going to see what true praise is, because once the Lord began to work through his last day church, people will fall on their faces and give praise and worship God. Here's the ultimate new thing. When God said, I make all things new, that included us, mankind. When he makes all things new, he means all things. The ultimate new thing is that we are going to look like Jesus Christ in all of his glory. As the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This has been God's will, his plan, even before the foundation of the world. And now, in this hour, it shall come to pass, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the image of the glorified Jesus Christ, not the one that walked the shores of Galilee. It was Jesus as the Lamb of God. But the resurrected Jesus, the glorified Jesus, is the image that we are going to be conformed to. We're going to be changed to that image so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brothers. What does that mean? That he will be the firstborn Son of God among many other sons of God. It is hard to see that now. All we see right now and feel in is our fallen natured bodies, bodies that are full of fear, grief, worry, sadness, aches and pains, unbelief, doubt, confusion, temptations, trials and tribulations. That's what we see now. That's why it's so important, Christians, that we walk by faith, not by sight, not by the things that you see, not even by how your body feels. You continue to walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is not a feeling, and feeling is not faith, but faith can bring forth a feeling. We are to believe and stand on God's word, for he is not a man that he should lie. If God said it, then it shall come to pass. Just believe, have faith, and be confident that his word is true. And then, when you're full of confidence and faith and know that his word is true, it is then that it will happen. It will come to pass, and you will see it. And not only see it, but you will experience it for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's the message. That's the message for today and for this week and for as many times as you want to listen to it as you click on the link, okay? That's the message. But listen, I don't want you to go away because I have a special announcement after this song, okay? Yolanda Adams said, she's got the victory, and guess what? If she have it. Yes, indeed. We have the victory. You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and the message. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and I told you that I had a special announcement. And the announcement is this. I've written a book, and the book is entitled, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Now, this is a must-read book. You should really read this. It's going to enlighten you. You will find yourself drawing closer to the Lord. You will receive revelations and more of an understanding, really, of the plan of God, who he is, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the revelation of who you are. So just, you know, read this book. It's available on Amazon. It's Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by T. Meyer McCain. That's me. Okay? And you can go ahead and order it, and you can get it in audio or ebook, however you prefer reading the book, but it's available right now. So go ahead and put your order in and just enjoy it, okay? And be blessed. This book is blessed. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord come upon anyone who reads it, that they will really get a clear understanding of who God is and walk closer and closer and closer to him. Okay? Okay. Now, listen, I want to say this too. If you've been kind of going through some things and some of you may be listening that maybe haven't given your life totally to the Lord, and some of you probably have, but maybe you backslid, and you want to kind of start over. Well, let's start over, okay? Just repeat after me. Give your heart to the Lord. Oh, Father God, I repent and ask that you forgive me for all of my sins. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross and that you raised him from the dead. I believe that he's alive and alive forevermore. I accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. And I believe that he is the Son of the living God. Now I ask, O God, that you accept me in your life and let me be a child of God. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. That's it. If you repeated all of that after me and you meant it from your very heart, from the depths of your soul, then you have been received. You are saved. Okay, so now what's the next thing? You find a good Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled, God-fearing church and pastor and or even true believers and friends or family members so that you can get baptized. Contact join a really good church. Continue to listen to us as much as possible till you are able to find a really good church and a real anointed pastor, and then join with other true believing Christians. Family members, you know, join in with them so that you can get baptized. Anyone, any Christian can baptize you. You know, you prefer a pastor and do it, then go to a pastor. But any Christian can baptize you. Any true believing Christian can baptize you. And then get a Bible. If you don't have one, go buy a Bible. You can ask the church. A church will always have Bibles available for you. Read and study the Word. Okay, read and study the Word. This is very important. And then here's another very important thing to do is spend quiet and personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. You praise him and you worship him personally, just you and the Lord. And then spend time collectively with other believers in the Spirit for continued strength, okay? If you do that, you'll be just fine, and you will continue to wax strong and continue. And remember to buy the book. It's going to even help you understand the Bible more once you start reading the Bible. And you read this book, you'll have even a clearer understanding of the Word of God, okay? All righty. All right. So don't go away. We will be right back after this. This is a song written by myself and a good friend of mine by the name of Carlos, and it's called Savior. And just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Praise the Lord. Just want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And I also want to say this. There are some of you that are suffering right now. Some of you are suffering mentally. You need peace. You need peace. And I know that I'm talking to Christians. Many of you are going through some battles, spiritual battles. You're having a hard time keeping your flesh in subjection to the Holy Spirit, and you're being tempted. May the Lord deliver you from these fiery of Satan Lord, deliver whoever's in this situation, Lord. Deliver them in their minds. Give them your peace that's far beyond understanding. Give them your peace, O Lord. Heal their minds. Give them a renewing of the mind. Let the mind of Jesus Christ be in them. Take away any fears, any worries, whatever's going on, Lord. Take it away right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cast that spirit out and away and away from your situation. Be gone in Jesus' holy name for the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Start praising him. Give him praise. We praise you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Everyone, be prepared. Get ready. Get ready to see the Lord face to face. Always have that in your heart and in your mind. Comfort yourself with that. Strengthen yourself with that, that one of these days you are going to see the Lord face to face. Thank you for joining us. Let's end here with the McCains. Face to face. Praise the Lord. Goodbye, everybody. See you next week.